And here we go. Episode 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by the promo code that we found on Google so that we could get our podcast hosting site free for a month. Thanks, Google.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
And yes, again, this is episode 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. We are live on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, and of course on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Pinstripe Lanes, pinstripelanespodcast.com. My name is Ralphie Aversa. Big show for you this week. Later in the show, we chat with Scott Stanford, the 7-time Emmy Award winner, as he will make sure I mention. Love Scott. Scott's been really, really good to me, of course, as my full-time job in entertainment. Been with Scott on Pix 11, and now he's the sports anchor over at Pix 11, which, of course, here in New York City is the flagship station, TV station for Yankees baseball. They're actually carrying the Yankees-Red Sox game Thursday night, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. So that game, again, will be on Pix 11 this Thursday. We'll chat with Scott about being the sports anchor for the Yankees flagship here in the city, what that's like, what it's like covering the games, covering the players, some interesting interactions. What's the spread like in the press box? Most importantly, we cover all those fun things. And we'll talk about the team a little bit as well with Scott Stanford. That's coming up a little later here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Coming up next, Mike Isserlis, my buddy, rejoins us for week number 2. Something that Mike and I did not cover during our chat. We talked a lot about hats. We talked about the low profile hats versus the regular 5950s that they wear on the field. We also talked about the three special edition hats that will be worn over the next couple weeks for Mother's Day, Memorial Day, and of course Old Timers Day. What do they look like? Where can you buy them? Do we like them? We'll discuss that. Something that Mike actually brought to my attention, though, I can't believe we didn't cover this during our conversation. Mike and I were both at the first Sunday game of the year at Yankee Stadium. It was calendar day. The Yankees were playing the Orioles, and I'll never forget, Mike at the time was looking for a hat, which he has since bought. We'll let you know which style he bought and where he bought it from coming up in just a little bit. He'll tell you. But Mike went to the Yankees team store, looked for a hat, didn't find anything, and then came back and informed me that, in fact, in the Yankees team shop at Yankee Stadium, they were selling the visiting team's hats. What? Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. There are a number of different things that I have not liked about the new stadium since it opened in 09. Many of those things, thankfully, have since been corrected, if not completely, then partially, whether it be the overall vibe of the stadium, the fact that there was once an art gallery behind home plate, some things like the moat, which I will get to cross for my first time next weekend. Really looking forward to that. I guess we're going to have to live with, but I'm sorry. There is just no, I could understand if a stands or a vendor outside wants to sell the visiting teams, and you certainly can understand, say in a Tampa where, most of the fans going to those games are transplants anyways. So, okay, you're going to sell some visiting team merch there, but in Yankee Stadium, who's buying an Orioles hat in Yankee Stadium? Like, A, it's a terrible sign that it's being sold. And B, the fact that you could do that and you're probably not going to get heckled. Like, where does it go from here? Like, the next time the Orioles come to town, we're going to sell, maybe, you know what we'll do? We'll sell the hats. We'll sell the Adam Jones shirts. And then over in the food court, we'll open up a crab cake stand with Old Bay seasoning in the whole nine. Let's just let you know, if we're going to go, let's just go all the way. Why not, right? Let's not leave a single dollar on the table. Never mind the fact that we're resetting the luxury tax next year. Never mind the fact that we're under the threshold. Never mind the fact that they're going to put 3 million people through those damn turnstiles this year. You know that. Between the star power, between the way this team is winning and everything else. I'll tell you, you walk around this city, you don't see a single, not a single Mets hat anymore. Not a single, dude, if somebody is wearing a baseball shirt, you could guarantee it's got a white interlocking NY on the front and it's got Judge 99 on the back, and that's it. So why we also then, when you go visit the stadium, need to sell the visiting team's hats is beyond me. But when Mike came back and told me that, we were standing in the Toyota Terrace and you're watching the game. One of the things I like, by the way, the whole GA standing section about the new stadium. When he told me that, I was just absolutely flabbergasted. Anyways, we will talk about not visiting team hats, but Yankee hats. What we like and what we don't like about some of the newer models that New Era is selling currently, where you can buy them. We break that down. Plus Scott Stanford again a little later. This is episode 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. And episode 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Thanks so much for finding us on iTunes, Google Play, and of course over at pinstripelanespodcast.com. Again, Scott Stanford, Pix 11 sports anchor, joins us in just a little bit. Right now, though, we are rejoined by Mike Asurlis, who joined us for episode number 1. He's back for episode number 2. We got a lot to chat about as the Yankees come into this series with the Red Sox pretty hot. Mike himself just wrapping up his own successful West Coast trip. Was the trip to Cali all right, buddy, or what?
Much like the Yankees had a clean sweep in California, was down in San Diego, or I guess it's not too good of a sports town because I wore my brand new Yankee hat all over and no one said a word to me, so not too I guess they weren't too enamored with it.
But it's interesting you bring up the hat, because I remember a couple weeks ago when you and I were at that first Sunday game of the season, calendar day, you had mentioned you wanted to get a new Yankees hat. You were a little bitter that you hadn't bought one maybe a few years ago, back before New Era started requiring all of the 5950 on-fields to have the New Era flag logo on the side. What did you end up going with?
You know, I ended up going with the New Era low-profile hat, which wasn't maybe available for the at-home use back in maybe 2015, 2016. But now New Era is making a hat that really fits the smaller, usual-sized head. Maybe if you have a skinnier head than the average, you know, big league ball player. Now they're putting out the new low-profile hats, which now I'm rocking like a champ.
Yeah, I don't know when these went to retail. I first started seeing them on the field back when Ichiro was a Yankee. He wore the 5950 low profile on field. And it's basically, as Mike describes, it's essentially the same 5950 that you've seen in stores, but the top of the hat sits a little lower, so it's not as big. So if you're looking, I guess, for more of that kind of like old school look that's a little closer to your head, doesn't make you look like you have a Martian head, perhaps, the low profile is your best bet. Where did you buy your low profile hat, Mike?
That's a great question. I'm gonna get to that in just a second, because the other cool thing about the low profile hat is that the brim has a little bit of a curve to it already.
Oh,
so those usual hats, the old school hats, have that flat brim and it looks weird when you try to bend it, and no one wears it like that, and the whole thing looks kind of odd. Now, of course, the low profiles, I guess they built it in for the typical, you know, average fan who may want to put a little bend in their hat, maybe not a West Coast thing. It comes with a slight bend, so you look normal. You won't look like a creep wearing a flat brim hat, you know, at 34 years old, so it's nice.
Because the head sits a little lower, if it was a completely flat brim like we're used to getting on those brand new 5950s, it would definitely, I think, look a little odd. Where'd you pick it up?
So funny story. I got all excited to get a new Yankee hat. Obviously, in the stadium, it's a little more expensive, so I wanted to buy it outside. Went into the first shop when you get off the 4 train. I believe it's called like Ballpark Supplies, Ballpark Merchandise, one of those names. I walk in the store, tell the gentleman behind the counter, hey, need that low profile brand new Yankee hat. He told me that they are not selling low profile hats outside the stadium. It's something specific only in the stadium. And then tried to like kind of sell me on why I should get the regular old school hat. Trying to get the sale. You know, good for him, trying to make a sale. Not a problem. But being a skeptical New Yorker as I am, I said, you know what? Let me go down the street, because I wanted to check out the sports store next to stands. And if you're looking to check a bag, if you bring a laptop or a bag that's not allowed in the stadium, they actually have lockers you can rent. Drop your bag in there too. Little plug for them. But went in there, they had about 30 different kind of low-profile Yankee hats. Found my 7 3 I guess my 7 3/8 size hat. And they also have great t-shirts. I recommend going there. It's my personal favorite, I guess, for buying Yankee merch for a few dollars cheaper than in the stadium. And now I'm rocking the low profile on both coasts. We're on the West Coast, wore it here in New York. And the Yankees, I think they've won 15 out of 16 games since I bought it.
But wow. So you and Gleyber Torres have obviously brought the Yankees good luck. I will say, too, if you go into the stadium and you're looking to buy the hat in the stadiums, it's probably a few dollars more. But the New Era store, which is on the main level behind home plate, they do. I did check. I was at the game on Sunday. They do have the low profiles there, so you can pick it up there or at least try it on. Maybe check it out to see exactly what we're talking about. And obviously, Fanatics and all of those websites sell
and
them
you'll probably
as well.
Get a discount on Fanatics also, probably. I wanted to try it on first, make sure I had a size that, you know, I was going to be comfortable with.
Did you keep the same hat from the regular 5950 as you did with the low profile?
It's a good question. Now, my previous Yankee fitted hat, I did buy in 2009 opening day. So when I went to the new stadium, bought the new hat with that inaugural season patch, and that was 7 1/8. Now, it is possible in the 10 years that have passed that my head may have grown. I don't know. I'm not
That's
sure.
A thing.
But I
That's
did
a thing.
Get a bigger hat. I don't know if it's because it's low profile, but I did end up buying a bigger hat, yes. Barry Bonds' head got bigger when he got older, too. So, I mean, it could be anything.
Speaking of steroids, did you see I was on with Bernie and our buddy Sid Rosenberg on WABC Radio last Friday morning?
I did see that you were on with Bernie and Sid. I used to listen to Sid Rosenberg back in the day, like on my radio, falling asleep, you know, when he was in New York before he went to Florida. And I was pretty surprised to see you guys were on the air together.
I had a good little spot with them, about 10 minutes. And
awesome.
It's funny you bring, because we steroids is one of the things we chatted about, because I'm sure you saw the selfie if you haven't. I posted on my personal Twitter at Ralphie Aversa. Sid apparently and I live right by each other in the financial district. I ran into him the other day along the East River, and he was just standing out there with no shirt on, shorts and sneakers, getting some sun.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's jacked. He might be taking the cream and the clear for all we know.
Well, that's one of the things we had to cover when I was on. Shout out to Bernie and Sid for having me on. All right, so we'll continue our talk of hats real quick here. Mike Casserla is joining us on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. My name is Ralphie. A couple specialty hats coming up over the next few weeks for the Yankees. The first they will wear this Sunday. It's the annual Mother's Day hat. Mm-hmm. That will be followed up with the Memorial Day hat. It's got more of a camouflage feel to it. They'll wear that, I think, through Memorial Day weekend. And then the Old Timers Day hat is out as well. Mike, have you had a chance to look at any of these or no?
Great question. And when I was at Stan's Sporting Goods shop last week or 2 weeks ago, they were actually selling those hats already. So I did get a nice up-close look at it, and it happened to be a very nice hat, the Memorial Day hat specifically.
Okay, so the Memorial Day one's got, I believe it's gray on top. It's got a lot of camouflage in it. The Mother's Day one is a pink-themed hat. And then my favorite of the three, and I wish they would do this with all of these special holiday hats, is the Old Timers Day hat. And the reason why I love the Old Timers Day hat is because it's the regular Yankees hat. They didn't change the color scheme at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's navy, white interlocking NY. There's a 2018 Old Timers Day patch. It's on the side. I wish they did that with every single one of these specialty hats. The same way a la, you know, when they wear the American flag for 9/11 and they put the American flag on the side. I think that is the way to go. And look, it's great that they sell these hats and proceeds benefit, whether you're talking about veterans foundations, nonprofits, or breast cancer research. But I don't understand why they can't do that. And maybe instead of, you know, an all pink Yankees hat, they can put the pink ribbon on the side of the hat. Like, I just don't understand why they have to change up the hat.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further. Last year, Mother's Day, Yankee Stadium, they're retiring Derek Jeter's number. Everyone's coming to the stadium. Everyone's hyped up. And what do we have to encounter when we get there? The Yankees wearing a pink pinstripe jersey. Remember that jersey?
With
the
of course,
pink
yeah.
I think they even had pink pinstripes. And I think if George was alive when that happened, there's no way he'd let them take the field looking like that. Give me a patch. Give me a shoulder patch. Let's move on. We don't need to wear a pink jersey because it's Mother's Day. Everyone knows it's Mother's Day. This is not necessary. Not the Yankees. If another team, maybe the Diamondbacks, a team that no one cares about, wants to wear a pink jersey, go for it. Yankees wearing our blue pinstripes at home.
You know, and I like the pink. Like, I like, for example, I like the cleats. I like the bats. I like the wristbands. I like some of the different pink accessories that Nike and Under Armour and New Balance will give their athletes. But yeah, to go full out pink uniforms and pink hats. I mean, again, look, I'm all for raising funds and awareness and everything for breast cancer. And I'll tell you this too. I feel like they might sell some more I think they would sell more hats and jerseys if they went the more subtle route, at least with the Yankees, than with what they do. Because again, I could never, while it's for a great cause, I could never see myself wearing this pink Yankees hat.
We were retiring Derek Jeter's number last year wearing pink Yankee pinstripes. Something's wrong there, you know?
That was a little odd. All right, Micah Cirlis, again, joining us here this week on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Appreciate it as always, sir. We'll see you in the Bronx on Saturday.
Happy to be here, my friend. I'll see you then.
And welcome back to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Again, thanks for finding us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pinstripe Lanes. And of course, iTunes, Google Play, PinstripeLanesPodcast.com. All right, our guest this week on the show is somebody that we've been lucky enough to be on Picks 11 with. And we're very lucky to have him this week on our show. He is the sports anchor for Picks 11, the flagship station for Yankees baseball locally here in New York. He is Scott Stanford. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Listen, Ralph, I got to start by saying, hey, Ralphie boy.
It's it. Hey, well, especially, you know, Picks 11. I don't know if I ever told you, but I mean, my first memories visiting New York as a tourist with my dad, who's also Ralph, he and I would stay up late in the hotel room and we'd catch the old Honeymooners reruns on Picks 11. So what a thrill to fast forward from that to now live in the city and now say that I've, you know, was on Picks 11 and like I said, lucky enough to be on with yourself as well before you transitioned into the new role as sports anchor. Now, I got to say, and of course, maybe you know Scott as well as an on-camera host for WWE. You just got done with the 10 p.m. newscast. Give me a little post-game here, Scott. How'd it go?
Well, you know, Ralphie, when you introduced me, you forgot to mention 7-time Emmy Award winning.
Oh, that's...
It always goes perfectly, my friend. Unfortunately, your Yankees weren't on tonight. This is their off day before the big Boston series coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, coming off a great stretch here, and we'll give Picks 11 a little pop, too, because I know you got the game on Thursday. Pre-game starts at 6:30, first pitch around 7 o'clock, so you can catch it, of course, on Picks 11. And if you're not listening to this in the New York area, well, then you'll probably have to go search for it somewhere, but it'll be here in New York on Picks 11. I guess we'll start there. As a sports anchor for WPIX, having the Yankees, what's it like being sports anchor on the flagship station for the Yankees here in the city?
I'll tell you, Ralph, it's a lot of fun, especially right now. You know, we've had the Yankees have been on Picks 11 for a long time. We have the Yanks and Mets, so we bounce back and forth between both teams. But when they're, you know, when they're winning 15 out of every 16 games, I mean, you know, the viewership rises, which means the viewership for our news rises. And, you know, we get to do all kinds of fun stuff with a lot of Yankee players, so it works out well for us. You know, when you've grown up in New York like I do, and you get a chance to hang out with these guys who are larger than life, it makes it all that more fun. You know, it's not really a job. You know, who says if you don't they say if you go to work every day, but it's fun, it's not really a job,
right?
You know, that's what we get to do here every day, and you know, when you have a team like the Yanks on our air, it just brings that many more eyeballs to the station, which is great for us.
So as far as Picks being the flagship and your job as sports anchor, it does provide you at least with a little more access?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you know, most of the times when I wasn't on Picks, they'd throw me out of the clubhouse. But now, you know, now on, you know, pregame days, they give us a little more access. You get a little more pull. You know, if the Yankees win at the end of the game, they give you a player right off the field, which no other station gets besides the YES Network. So it really it's great. And again, and it's all, you know, about having, you know, a great baseball team on our air right now, which just provides, again, you know, more viewership for the station, which translates hopefully for us into more viewership, you know, for the news, because then people stick around to watch what happens, you know, with clubhouse reports and all that other kind of good stuff.
So you're helming the pregame coverage, that's correct?
Yeah. We do the pregames. Every time there's a Yankee game on our air, we have about 25 of them this season. We come on at 6:30 with a half-hour pregame. So it's myself, Andy Adler. We usually have Joe Masseri at the stadium. You know, we'll have some fun quiz. You know, it's not a pregame for Yankee stat people. You know, it's a pregame for fans who are just looking to have some fun. We do a lot of pop culture stuff. We interview. We do a lot of quizzes. We make people sing. So, you know, once we get past the nuts and bolts, we like to have a good time up until game time.
We got Scott Stanford, Pix 11 sports anchor, and of course, seven-time Emmy Award winner joining us here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I'm, of course, Ralphie Aversa. As far as the talent crossover with Yes and Pix 11, obviously you and Andy, as you mentioned, and one other reporter for the pregame, Meredith still is during game, and then you get a hit at some point with the whoever's a part of the nine-person booth that night for the Pix 11 broadcast. Will they join you as well or no?
See, here's the thing, Ralphie. It's a one-way street, buddy. Here's how it works. Everybody from Yes appears on Pix 11. Scotty Boy doesn't appear on the Yes Network. They don't let me on at all. I don't know why. You know, Michael Kay doesn't like me. David Cohn doesn't like me. I'm just not well-liked over there, and I just don't know. John Filippelli hates me. I just don't know why.
Filippelli. There you go.
I kid, of course. You know what? It's a Yes production, so you're basically getting Yes Network's production on Pix 11. And we come on, you know, we sandwich before and after.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, obviously, though, whatever happens with the game, that's what you're leading the sportscast with, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, Yankees would always be the lead. Sometimes we would have it, you know, the lead story before the news comes on. Before we get to the actual news, we'll give you a little Yankee recap. But it's always, you know, if the Yankees are on Pix that night, that's always the lead story. And Joe Masseri, who's the other reporter who's up at the stadium, he'll stay out there for the whole game, and he'll be there for the post-game clubhouse report that would air in my sportscast later on in the night. So on those Yankee nights, you know, just like Yes does on their nights, we've got you covered pre and post on those games.
Now, as far as interacting with the players, past and present, do you have a favorite player or a favorite interaction?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just ran an interview last night on our Sunday Pix 11 Sports Rewind, 10:45 every Sunday night here on Pix 11, with Nick Swisher. And Swish has always been, I even said it last night, he's probably my favorite athlete out of any of the sports to deal with, because the guy's always pumped up. He's always ready to have fun. He's always in a good mood. And he's just, his personality just, you know, it lifts you up when you're hanging around Nick Swisher. So he's literally my favorite athlete to interview and do fun things with, you know, off the beaten path things with any athlete in New York, you know, bar none.
Absolutely. Well, the nice thing about Swish, and I think that's one of the things that made him a fan favorite, in addition to obviously being a part of that winning team in 09, is unlike, say, a Derek Jeter or even an Aaron Judge, Swish will actually give you something with the interview, whereas those other guys, they say a lot without saying anything at all.
Yeah, you know what's funny about sports in New York? You listen to sports talk radio. When somebody does go off, and yeah, Swish is one of those guys, but when somebody does go off and say something out of the ordinary, they browbeat him with it the next day. You know, why would he say this? Why would he do this? But then like a Jeter, when they say the same cliche things over and over again, you're like, oh, this guy never wants to say anything. But once they do, you know, it's funny. It's one of those you can't win situations. But yeah, I think the audience and the viewers, we always try to bring them something different rather than a regular sports post-game show or regular interview. You know, for example, you know, Nick and I, we were singing songs last night. I was quizzing him. I was quizzing him on the songs they play in between innings at Yankee Stadium to see what he knew. You know, Cotton Eye Joe and, you know, songs they play when you turn a double play. It takes two to make a thing go right.
Of course.
And he knew a lot of that stuff. And, you know, all you have to do is kick Swish in and he goes. And he's a really fun guy. You know who else was like that? Johnny Damon, too. Not as much as Swisher, but Johnny can go into the clubhouse and do, hey, Johnny, I got a fun quiz for you. You got 5 minutes, and they'll always do it with you. And there were certain guys who you knew not to go do that with because they would never, ever do that with you, Jeter being one of them. I could tell you right now, Giancarlo Stanton, not one of those guys. And you knew that, you know, day one at spring training when we were all there.
Yeah, when he got introduced to the press, as a fan, I was a little worried because he did not look comfortable fielding questions at all. And obviously, he's coming out of a tough situation with the Marlins, and it's a whole he said she said thing with him and Jeter and their front office. I will say he's gotten a lot more comfortable. The way he's handled the fans booing him, a lot of other people have been, I think, impressed with. So that's a good start. And somebody else who obviously has been a topic of conversation as we talk with Scott Stanford from Picks 11, the sports anchor there, is Aaron Boone, the new manager. What have you thought of Boone so far?
You know what? I think Boone's doing a nice job. He handles everything well. I mean, listen, he hasn't really had to, except for their semi-slow start to the season, he hasn't really had to deal with any adversity yet. The guy's living, I would think, on cloud 9 right now. I mean, just look at this run the Yankees are on. I mean, 15-1. In their last 16 games. They haven't done that since 1980. I mean, you're talking about 38 years. So this guy, it's amazing. This team, you've got a different hero every day. It's unbelievable. So it's like, someone asked me the other day, has Stanton, picked up his game? I said, it doesn't even matter anymore because there's a different player who picks up this team every game. And the great thing about them being now just a game behind the Red Sox coming into this series this week is that, you get the rivalry back. They had that brawl last time out.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the rivalry back. And if these two teams can, right now they're the two best in baseball, the Red Sox and Yankees. If they can keep that going through the summer, I mean, how great is it when you have a summer of Yankee-Red Sox rivalry, each team, trying to go match for match with each other and stay at the top of that American League East? It really sets up for a pretty good summer. Both of these teams stay healthy and they stay on this run that they're on.
Absolutely. Scott Stanford, Picks 11, we'll leave you with this. You go to Yankee Stadium, not as a reporter, although I am curious, actually, hold on. One question before I give you my last question. How is the spread in the press box at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, the spread in the press box. They have a nice cafeteria there. They raised the price a little bit lately, but it's a buffet. You got your burgers, your hot dogs, little chili. But the best part of Yankee Stadium's cafeteria is the ice cream machine, bar none. You go in, you've got the brownies, you've got the ice cream, you got the hot fudge and the sprinkles, and man, oh man, if I tell you, you got Bruce Beck, Russ Salzberg, Otis Livingston. All my buddies from all the other sports stations, Ryan Field from Channel 7, you've never seen guys happier sitting around eating ice cream, waiting for the bottom of the ninth to head down to the clubhouse. Unbelievable.
You go, Scott, you go to the stadium as a fan, though, not as a reporter. What's the one ballpark food you got to have?
I'm going hot dog.
Yeah?
I like to keep it, I like to keep it traditional, man. I'm going ballpark hot dog for $11.95, either an iced tea or a beer. The beer's about $20 a cup right now. And then, again, back to the ice cream motif, whether it's Mets or Yanks, I got to go with the mixed Carvel and the helmet, man. There's nothing better than that, right?
Absolutely. Well, hey, again, Thursday's game on Picks 11, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock. The game starts up in the Bronx, Yankees and Red Sox. Big series this week. Got to love that, especially for May. Scott Stanford, the 7-time Emmy Award winner and Picks 11 sports anchor. Scott, as always, thank you so much for the time, buddy. Really appreciate it.
And Ralph, listen, before we go, one of our next Yankee pregames, you're my guest on that show. So that's an invitation for you, buddy.
Done and done. I'm in. Thank you, buddy.
All right, my man.
And that's a wrap for episode 2. Thank you for subscribing online, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're at Pinstripe Lanes. And the cool thing about that, I can't believe I found Pinstripe Lanes, that handle on all of those social networks, but also like on each social network, we're posting different content. On Twitter, we like to post John Sterling's calls, especially if it's a big call, a walk-off call. Instagram, we've been posting screenshots of Didi's tweets and the lineups each day as well. Facebook, we're posting the episodes, and we'll have some other cool stuff. We'll do some Facebook Live and stuff as well. And of course, you can find us at PinstripeLanesPodcast.com. A big thank you again to Mike Casserlis for joining us for a second straight week. Scott Stanford, great spot out of him. Picks 11, Sports Anchor, 7-time Emmy Award winner. And don't forget, Picks 11 has got Thursday's Yankees Red Sox game. That's a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch in the Bronx with your surging, red hot, on fire New York Yankees. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast.